against this community, against this people. In another word, we made taqad du'a against this community. The community of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam was the first group of people who associated idol worshipping with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were the first group of mushrikeen. The first shirk that started in this world was in the time of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Even after working in the community for 950 years, it is said that only as many as 75 or 80 accepted Iman. Allah. Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam at the end made a dua against them. And the punishment that came was also severe. It is said that every single one of them drowned during the fight of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, who is mentioned in the Quran. Every single one except for those who were on board in the ark, in the ship made by Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Muslim historians have said that after the great flood, Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam was the only individual who was blessed with children. Kisi ko aulaad nahi hui. There were many, many male members on board, but the only person who was blessed with children was Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. And it is through the children of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam that we have different identities in this world. We have different cultures and different races. That is why Hazrat Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam is even titled as to be Adam Sani, the second Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. The first chapter starts from Adam alayhi salam until the flood. The second chapter, the second phase, starts from after the flood until today. No one was blessed with children except for Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam. Muslim historians have said also and have given us an explanation, Muharrikin and historians. The three famous children of Nuh alayhi salam, the first one was Sam, Sin Alif Mim. From Sam were born the Persians, Fars, Kilogo, and also the Arabs. And also from Sam, European ancestry is also traced to lead up to Hazrat Sam. The second child was Ham, Hay, Alif, Mim. From Ham we get the Egyptian, the Berbers, the Moroccans, Ahlul Sudan, the people of Sudan, and the Africans come from the son called Ham. The third one was Yaqif. From Yaqif were born those who have the anatomy of having black eyes, like the Chinese. Were born the Turks, the Chinese, and the Muhaddithin, Mu'addithin have also said that not our friends, but the topic that we started, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are also from the genealogy of Yaqif. They go and link themselves to the son of Nuh alayhi salatu wa salam, whose name is Yaqif, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, subhanAllah, in the previous sessions, as described, their mission and their nature is only one. Absolute destruction. Agents of fasad, bringing business, bloodthirsty people. No sorrow, no sympathy, no mercy. Anyone that comes in the way is bulldozed out. That is Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And Ya'juj and Ma'juj is not a joke. Ya'juj and Ma'juj is a community which is mentioned in the Quran, which is qat'i. Denying Ya'juj and Ma'juj simply means that that person becomes a kafir and rich. Allahu Akbar. And I still want to continue with the topic. Alhamdulillah, I was looking for a hadith everywhere, and Alhamdulillah, when I went to Umrah, I found this kitab. And Alhamdulillah, in there, I found this hadith. So that still gives us an opportunity. We have heard this activity of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, but I was not satisfied until I could see the hadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Finally, we have the hadith here of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn alayhi salatu wa salam's words are not only those which are mentioned in Bukhari Muslim. See that some of the Muslims, when they talk about Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it seems that they only feel that the only words that are respectable and honored are those which are in the Sahih Bukhari and in the Sahih Muslim. In Bukhari Sharif, there are only 3,000 ahadith. How many? From the age of 40 until 63, and even before the Nubuwwat, all the events, everything what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is just total up to 3,000 ahadith. Khatamun Nabiyeen, Rahmatul Lil Alameen, the last prophet. Is Islam only isolated to 3,000 words, 3,000 hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That is not the case. Many, many words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have a hadith here, and again the mu'ajizat of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining to us from the time Ya'juj and Ma'juj were imprisoned in that area by Hazrat Sayyidul Qarnayn radiallahu ta'ala, and he sealed them off by constructing a wall between two mountains, leveling that wall to the level of the mountain. And till today they are there, until when Allah waits for them to come out. What is their daily activity? That is mentioned in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abi Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and the narrator is Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called, Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam said, إِنَّ يَعْجُوجَ وَمَعْجُوجَ لَيَحْفِرُونَ السُّدَّ كُلَّ يَوْمٍ حَتَّى إِذَا كَابُوا يَرَوْنَ شُعَاءَ الشَّمْسِ قَالَ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِمْ لَيْقَائِدُهُمْ ارجعوا فاستحفرونه غدا فيعودون إليه بأشد ما كان حتى إذا بلغت مدتهم وأراد الله عز وجل أن يبعثهم من الناس حفروا حتى إذا كانوا يرون شعاع الشمس قال الذي عليهم ارجعوا فاستحفرونه غدا إن شاء الله تعالى. This is the hadith read to you. Basic translation of the hadith is صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying that every day Ya'juj and Ma'juj are digging at the wall made by Hazrat Zul Qarnayn. They are physically very, very powerful people, but without the intellect. Physically very, very strong. And they are there digging, laborer, digging away every day. They don't get tired. Every day they are digging at the wall and receiving them until they can see some sunlight. Some hole that has been made to see the other side of the world, and they can see daylight and they can see sun rays, sunlight coming. So I don't think Ya'juj and Ma'juj are in anywhere because sunlight is not here. Although, Allahu Akbar, one of the professors has said that Dajjal, again we talked about Dajjal, was supposed to be hidden away in some remote island, that is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I said, Hazrat Tamim Adani radiallahu ta'ala, if you remember, met him with the group of companions that were there. According to his research, he said that island is the island of England. Allahu a'lam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was there. But there are so many mountains, so many mountains, so many areas. The insan has not even touched the bottom of the sea. Allah, so many areas, so many caves, so many vast jungles, insan has never been there. Dunya is big. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make parda of that individual, is nothing different. But that is just his opinion. That is just his opinion. So, brothers who want to travel up somewhere in Scotland, that's no problem. InshaAllah ta'ala. That is his problem. He's a, his opinion, and he's a professor, and he's written a book. Where was I? Yajuj and Majuj. So, sun rays, they can see sunlight. And then the one in charge says to the group of Yajuj and Majuj, okay, it's nearing time for Maghrib, it is getting dark. The Muhaddithin have learned and said from the Hadith that it seems that Yajuj and Majuj only work during daylight, when there is sun. At night they don't work. Again, one masala, as I said earlier on also, that night shift is not healthy for an individual. Working at night, you may be paid more, but eventually, health-wise, it does not pay off. You rather work during the daytime. Khalid by the taxi driver, so Allah was mercy. For them, it's the Saturday night, that is the Friday night, the Saturday night. But some of the scholars say that. So during the night time, they stop. And the one in charge says that, Ghadan, tomorrow, we will continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands to the angel, they come down and reconstruct the wall even stronger than what it was. And the wall is built by the malaika, by the angel. Allah's command, the angels are there. The next day when they come and they start all over, again, and they start to dig and dig and dig and dig. Until one day, a few of Gog and Magog, after frustration, after getting tired, I'm not sure if it is a slip of the tongue or is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts in their heart, they will say, Ghadan inshaAllah, tomorrow by the will of Allah will break through. And for them to say, inshaAllah, Gog and Magog, at that time, it is said that that will be the time which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for them to come out. And they will sleep at night. The very next day when they come, and they will still see that it's the wall is just in the same condition as it was yesterday, the effort they did. Allah Akbar. And again, it won't be difficult for them just to break down that wall which is mentioned in the Quran. فَإِذَا جَاءَ وَعَدُ رَبِّي جَعَلَهُ دَكَّا. When the promise of Allah comes, that Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out, Allah will make that wall into a powder. Yani everything will be demolished, it will come down. And that is the time the first contingent, the first group of Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out. They will basically storm the world. They will come out in their millions, in their thousands. Short, stouty people. No mercy. So one mufla I want to mention here is that because for them to say inshaAllah, that no way means that they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or they have any connection with Islam, no. They will say, inshallah, that is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will say, inshallah, even today, we have a lot of Hindus, when they see Muslims coming in the shop, they say, Salaam alaikum, kyaam cho, aao, johana paisa me nahi leta. Business people. So you get some of the Hindus who say that, assalamu alaikum. You get some of the Christians who know the terms that the Muslims use. Khuda Hafiz, Khuda Hafiz, they say Khuda Hafiz. Some of them even know the kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. They may say it, but that does not mean that they are Muslims. The Ya'juj and Ma'juj are no way Muslims, Allahu Akbar. On the contrary, they are more inclined towards atheism. Complete rejection of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For them there is no Lord, no Rabbul Alameen, no Creator. Unlike Dajjal. When Dajjal comes, he will claim to be the the Prophet. He will say, I am the Rasul that you have been waiting for. In your scripture, in the Bible, you have all been waiting for Masih. Masih to come. I am Masih. But Islam is saying there will be two Masih. One is Masih Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, who came and who will come inshaAllah ta'ala, who will fight Masih al-Dajjal. That is why the very first group of people to form alliance with them will be the Jews. Straight away, without any problem, without any Allahu Akbar hindrance, they will just go and make an alliance with Dajjal. And only later on, slowly, when he will have a massive army, at that time he will force people to take him to be the supreme God. He will force people to worship him. Like what Fir'aun did, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. That is why there is a hadith in Abu Dawud Sharif. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَيَكُونُ فِي أُمَّتِي ثَلَاثُونَ كَذَّابُونَ. My ummah will witness 30 great liars. My ummah will witness 30 great liars. كُلُّهُمْ. Every single one of them, يَزْعُمُ. They will take themselves to be نَبِيٌّ, that they are prophets. Hafiz ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani rahmatullah alayhi said, now from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there have been more than 30 who have claimed to be Nabi. The meaning of hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that from the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until Masih al-Dajjal, 30 great liars will come, and those 30 will have a great following. They will have a great following, they will have a base, they will have a platform, and it will be like a religion. There are many, many other individuals, 13, 14, 15 groups here and there, and they think that person to be the Prophet or another person to be Prophet. We have the Baha'i Firqa, and even when we look at the Shia, one denomination, one Firqa of Shia, Ma'ad Allah, has taken Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala unto be a prophet. Hazrat Ali. They take him to be a prophet. Not that he should have been the Khalifa after Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, but they are those in that group, Shia, who take Isa, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala unto be a prophet. And that is why sometimes some of the Muslims, you will hear them, they will say Hazrat Imam Hassan alayhi salam or Hazrat Imam Hussain alayhi salam. First of all, to call Imam, to label Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussain with the word Imam is wrong. It is Hazrat Hassan and Hazrat Hussain. The Shias use the term Imam because they believe in the system of Imams that will come. So we have taken that word Imam from them. From the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aash sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still hayat. This fitna broke out. We had Musaylamatul Kazab, the next brother had heard of it, who declared himself to be the Prophet. And he had a big following, as many as 4,000 was just his army in the early stages. When he saw that Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam announced that he is the messenger of Allah and he overthrew the Meccans, a lot of people thought that, subhanallah, this is a good policy to get fame, to get power quickly and to announce and declare that they are prophets. That is why when he could not overpower Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he wrote a letter to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that why don't we share the power that is given to us, the Nabuwwat, 50-50. That is the letter. He knew that he could not overpower Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and who can? And the companions knew the masla of Khatm Nabuwwat. That is why straight away, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the first man to encounter and to take full control and making sure that the Aqeedah of Khatm al-Nubuwwah is firm in the hearts of the companions. And Musaylam ibn Qazzam eventually was assassinated and killed, and he died an evil death. So what is meant in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I'm explaining this because the word insha'Allah is used by Ya'juj and Ma'juj. And they are munafiqeen, kuffar. And munafiqeen will stay all the time in this world. Just 100 years back, the Dajjal of Punjab, whose name is Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he was a writer, a scholar in the early stage. He had taken some knowledge. Eventually, he claimed to be a prophet. And till today, he has a very, very big following. He has said that he is Mahdi, which is mentioned in the hadith. He said that he is also Isa alayhi salam, who is to come. And this filthy aqeedah he holds and his followers hold, that Khatm Nabuwat, there is no change in the aqeedah of Khatm Nabuwat. He has not breached the ayat kareema, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ لِرِجَالِكُمْ وَلَا تَيْهِ رَسُولَ اللَّهُ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He says that I have been appointed as a Nabi from Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he has crowned me, ma'az Allah. He has said that you are a prophet. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Subhanallah al-Azim. And when the Qadiani was sitting in front of me, I said to him that every Muslim and non-Muslim holds this opinion that prophets don't have teachers. See? Prophets don't have teachers. Prophets are, Anbiya alayhimu salam, are teachers themselves who educate the entire humanity. They are the foundation of knowledge, the foundation of hidayah. They don't need teachers. That is why Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra, when the first revelation came down to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra took Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the first cousin, whose name was Waraqa bin Nawfal. Waraqa bin Nawfal was a great scholar of the scriptures, the Torah and the Injil. And he was a muwahid, he believed in the oneness of Allah. And when he saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said straight away, he died as a Muslim. He embraced Iman and he said, if I live that long, surely I will support you and help you. But he died straight away after that. Why did his death come so early, my respected brothers? Can anyone answer? If he lived a long time, there is a possibility that the Christians and the Jews might have said, oh, everything what Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam, all the knowledge that he speaks of regarding Christianity and Judaism comes from Waraqa bin Nawfal, the cousin of Hazrat Khadijah al-Kubra. So all knowledge comes from this individual and he was the teacher, ma'azullah. So straight away, Waraqa bin Nawfal dies. Intiqal al-Qaf Qujat. Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam and all prophets, Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, have no teachers. Direct revelation through Jibreel Ameen. And as from Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, he was so illiterate that to learn Parsi, his father hired a teacher whose name was Fazl Ilahi. And Fazl Ilahi would teach him every day how to speak Parsi. And he did not know Arabic, so his father, being a rich man at that time, you know where the money was supplied from. The father hired this Arab individual, a teacher of Arabic grammar, whose name was Fadl Ahmad. And Fadl Ahmad taught Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani the Arabic language. Even Gul Ali Shah was his ustad, many, many ustad. His father was his ustad. And he worked for a humble salary in Lahore, in the courts of Lahore as a clerk. And later on, Allahu Akbar Kabira, this man claims to be a prophet. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. He himself says that he got, at the end he got diabetes, and because of diabetes he would go to urinate in 24 hours more than 100 times. How many times? More than 100 times. But yet, Allahu Akbar, from Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are people who are becoming murtad, who are leaving the teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the shaitan puts Qadianism in front of them in such a way that they become blind to what is the truth. The shayateen, Allahu Akbar. And he quoted in front of me, he said that there is a verse that was revealed to Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. And I know that by heart now, because it is plagiarism to the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. We have revealed this Quran to you in the night of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani was sitting in Lahore, and all of a sudden something pinched him and he said it is revelation. And he said this word was revealed to me. And they are such diplomats, what are they? Diplomats. That they don't use the word wahi. Wahi is exclusively for the Prophet. They use ilham. Kya ho? Buzurghan Adim ko ilham hota. And ilham means inspiration. But yet, sometimes the word is used as ilham, sometimes it's all wahi utri, no ilham. When you call and say, no ilham, it's inspiration. Even Buzurghan Adim, awliya ullah, sometimes something is put in their heart. So what was put in the heart of this great Dajjal? He says that, inna anzallahu qareeban min al-qadiyah. That these Arabic words were revealed to this mal'oon, Dajjal, qareeban min al-qadiyah, close to Qadiyah. And the filthy aqeedah they hold, the filthy aqeedah they hold, Allahu Akbar. His first Khalifa, he called him Siddiq. We the Sunni Muslims call the wives of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Ummul Mu'mineen. Ummul Mu'mineen. Ummahatul Mu'mineen. The mothers of the believers. All the Qadianis also call the wives. He had this special touch with women, with the Ramah of the Qadian. Everything was discreet and complete. So the wife, two wives, one divorced, he gave talaq because she did not believe in him, alhamdulillah. Even the first, the two children did not, they rejected everything. And it is said that from the first wife, the first child that died, he did not even perform janazah namaz because the child said that you can never be ma'adullah, the Prophet after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he married the second woman. From him, he got 10 children. Just bachche usko paida hue. And all of the Qadianis call the wife of Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani and Mirza Ghulam Ahmad to be Ummul Mu'mineen, ma'adullah. What do they say? Ummul Mu'mineen. I just want to read out a few passages from this kitab here. My respected brothers and elders, Allahu Akbar. The shaitan may put in your heart that, oh, man, it's not amal or kibir to go from. We are very, very strong. We know there is no prophet after Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. May Allah keep it that way. But the fitnas are coming. Fitna is coming. Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam has said that this heart, Allahu Akbar, is such an organ of the body that when it changes, no one has the knowledge of it. No one. SubhanAllah. That is why Hakim Nuruddin, when he came to Allama Saharanpuri rahmatullah alayhi and visited him, Hazrat Allama Saleh Puri Rahmatullah Alayhi looked at Hakim Nuruddin, who was an alim at that time. He said that, "I see on your face that you will be the companion of a person who in the near future will claim to be a prophet in Qadian, and you will be his successor." At that time, Nuruddin did not even know who Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani was. It is said that exactly what Hazrat said had happened. Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani on one side, he claimed to be a prophet, and Hakim Nuruddin not only followed him, but he became his first Khalifa. His very first Khalifa. Amazing. Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani loved to do imamah for the women. He would love to become the imam for women. And this is no propaganda from our scholars. These are a lot of the quotations taken out from their books. Baajid mardon mein namazein ba jamaat hone ke alawa aakhir Muhammad Qadiani. Hazrat Masih Maud Mirza Qadiani ek bahut bade arse tak اندر عورتوں میں خود پیش امام ہو کر مغرب اور عشاء کی نمازیں ایک لمبے عرصے تک جمع کراتے رہے. For a very long period of time with women, he was the only one there with women. He would perform مغرب and عشاء together. And one of the prophecies that he made in his lifetime, he said that my death will either come in Makkah or either come in Madinah. I will either die in Makkah or I will either die in Madinah. He died an evil death. You know the story, diarrhea in the toilet. He started to scream to his father-in-law at that time, Nusrat's father, "Aao, mujhe haiza laga hai yahan." Father-in-law came, found him in that position. He died. He died not in Makkah Mukarramah or Madinatul Munawwara. Makkah Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara don't have space for Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani. Even the Dajjal can't get there. The Abu Jahl Majuj can't get there. The Munafiqeen can't get there. Allah. He died in the Ahmadiyya building, which was in Lahore. And his evil body, the local thing. This is the evil death that he died. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brother. Just one more thing which I wanted to read out. Is also the Gustafi that is done. Revelation would come to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Arabic language. But with Mirza Ghulam Muhammad Qadiani, the revelation would also come in the English language. And I really hope to read out to the brothers, inshallah ta'ala. English language is Arabic. He did not know Farsi, he had a teacher. He did not know Arabic, he had a teacher. But revelation would come to him in the English language. And these are taken out from his books, Haqiqatul Wahi. وَهِي كَا شِيْءٍ. The first revelation in English came, the first one, you must do what I told you. Though all men should be angry, but God is with you. He shall help you. Words of God cannot exchange. And really you keep asking, I shall help you. You have to go to Amritsar. Where do they have to go to? Amritsar. He halts in the Zila Peshawar. I love you. I am with you. Yes, I am happy. Life of pain, I shall help you. I can what I will do. We can what we will do. God is coming by His army. He is with you to kill the enemies. The days shall come when God shall help you. Glory be to the Lord, God, maker of earth and heaven. This is the English revelation. Irin to Mirza, Ghulam Ahmad Gazi. But never make a mistake, my respected brother. If a Qadiani stops you and he says, I want to talk to you, you say to him, وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا السَّلَامَ. When you meet a Fasik, a Fasik, you just say, go away. You want to talk to me, talk to the one who is a professional, who knows everything. They are such professionals in their own, Allahu Akbar, receiving way. The way they talk, they create suspicion in the heart. That is how they talk, Allahu Akbar. A little example that I can give you. If Huzur alayhi salatu was salam, is what you say was the greatest Nabi, then why is Musa alayhi salam's name mentioned in the Quran more than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is how they talk. If Nabuwat was sealed, then why did Huzur alayhi salam say that after me, if any prophet was to come, it would have been Hazrat Umar? But the way they talk, if there was no Nabuwat, then why did Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam have to say this? And this is the level they talk. Corrupting the mind of Allah of the Kabir. But what they don't understand is what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that even if Musa alayhi salatu wa salam comes down, he will have no choice but to follow me. لو كان موسى حيا ما وسعه إلا أن يتبعني. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, my respected brothers and elders, that we take this fitna seriously. Because Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam has warned the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that 30 great liars will come and the last one will be Dajjal. Dajjal will be the last one. If we have people who are prepared to take Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani, who cannot even be compared with Dajjal Akbar, the Dajjal that is mentioned to come, and there are people who take Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani to be Mahazallah, Mahazallah, a prophet, then what will it be when Dajjal, Masihud Dajjal comes? Imagine the level of Iman. It has to be very, very strong. For he will be a magician. Whatever you tell him, whatever you question him, he will show you. That is why we have to be very, very firm. That is why Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh, he would say that if I saw someone performing salat, Allahu Akbar, up in the air somewhere, suspended, and the musalla is there floating on top, and he is on top of the musalla and he is standing and performing salat, and if I did not see if one sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was missing from him, I could call him a shaitan, but I would never call him a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because performing salat is that very important. Allahu Akbar. This is the aqeedah, that the aqeedah should be very, very strong. Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. I am خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. There is no Nabi after me. Going back to Ya'juj and Ma'juj, Dajjal, that is the difference. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they will not claim to be prophets. They will not claim to be in any way that people should worship them. It will be Dajjal. When Ya'juj and Ma'juj come, it will be total destruction. Allahu Akbar. And that is, and one more lesson to be learned is that as Muslims we must never forget to say Insha'Allah ta'ala all the time. It is a great lesson. That is why Ya'juj and Ma'juj, the mentioning of them is in Suratul Kahf. And even in Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam was reminded that in every conversation, Abu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to say, Insha'Allah. Even that is mentioned in Suratul Kahf. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. In the hadith it is mentioned, Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa sallam had 100 wives. 100 wives. Anbiya alayhi salatu wa sallam, for them the law is very, very different. very, very little. That is why in the hadith we come that Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam had the strength of 40 people. And generally the Arabs themselves were very, very strong. Very strong. It was not that Al sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make an alarm that, like, let us prepare for jihad, and without preparation the companions would go and make jihad. No. Every army has to train daily. Everyone who is in the army trains daily. And it was in the blood of the Arabs that they were physically fit. And about the fitness of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was an expert in archery. Bow and arrow. It is said, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith that anyone who learns archery and then does not continue with archery, then he is not from me. Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam was an expert with the sword. Expert. When Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam went for jihad, the kuffar, when Huzur alayhi salatu wa sallam would move the sword, they would move away. Every single one of them would, Allah was scattered away from Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. That is how powerful Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam. It is said that in Masjid Nabawi, from Asr to Maghrib, that session, from the time of Asr until Maghrib, the companions would practice archery and how to use the sword. That is why in the companions, the group of companions, the famous person who knew how to use the sword perfectly, who was a professional, was Hazrat Hamza. He was a warrior. And he was the uncle of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the brother of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there was not much of an age difference between Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Hamza. It is only natural to understand that Hazrat Hamza and Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would both practice how to use the sword together. This was the tarteeb of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very, very strong. I have mentioned this earlier on also. The greatest wrestler in Arabia, he came to challenge Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this unique move. They get youngsters who like wrestling and this move and that move and this move and that move. Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam, when this person came, just touched him and he fell down. Like when Musa alayhi salam slapped that individual, he died. So to khatam ho gaya. Rahmatul alamin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched him, he fell down. Allahu Akbar. And Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam knew exactly to which degree to push him. Any more power, he would die straighter. That is why in the hadith it comes, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam could see on a clear day 17 stars. That is the furthest star, which is Suraya. Human beings can only see with the help of technology only 12 stars. In the hadith, it comes that 17 stars on a clear day, Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam could see. Falan sitara wahai Suraya, that is there. 17, the companion will say, we counted 17 stars. This is the power Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given. And when Rasulullah alayhi wa sallam would walk, it was downwards, as if he was coming down from a slope. And he would walk swiftly and very quickly. One man was mocking at the style of how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was walking. Because the Arabs at the time, the Mushrikeen, had an attitude. They would walk with great pride. And some of, you know, Allah Akbar, we get Muslims. When they are walking on the air. There's no one like me. Allah Akbar. And we want to follow the kuffar. We say Allah Akbar, Alhamdulillah, and we have a chain here, necklace. Kuffar of you. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. We don't even know how to shave our hair, cut our hair, trim our hair, tarteeb, kushn. We want to follow the kuffar in everything. أستغفر الله العظيم. مش قالوا حضرت إيه؟ النبي الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم. صلى الله عليه وسلم knew he could see exactly what he one can see in the front, he could see at the back also. And he saw that if Adi Pishay is making funny faces of Huzur alayhi salatu wa salam and imitating sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and making a mockery, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looking at him in the direction that he is at the back, but sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking to him once, he's facing the front part. He's saying that if you are mocking with me and walking like that, then be it. It is said that straight away he became paralyzed. For his entire life he was paralyzed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pushed that wrestler down, he fell down, he stood up. According to some of the muhadithin, that wrestler, he embraced Islam and he said, O Prophet of Allah, teach me this technique. Teach me this technique. Allah, that is why Allah gave us all the topics that we should all train, even the speaker. Everybody should train. Physically we should be fit. Muslims should be there. We should be there right in the front. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the topics that we should train hard. So we are fit, physically fit. Muslim is fit. All the companions, they were fit. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Subhanallah. And sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and he says, accept the shahada. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So he was given the power of 40 men. And Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam, he stood up and he said that today I will visit every single wife. According to the muhaddithin, he had 70 wives, and according to some of the muhaddithin, at that time he had 90 wives. And he said, in one night I will visit every single one of them. And inshallah, he did not say inshallah, he said that inshallah. As a Muslim, we should all have a hadith. And Sulaiman alayhi salam, at that time, he did not say inshallah. He said, I will visit every single wife and expecting that every single one of them will conceive. And he made an intention that every child that is born, I will make them work and they will be mujahideen fi sabilillah. This is the intention. Like the intention made by the mother of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salatu wa salam, that I will make her work for Baytul Muqaddas. She will be expecting that it will be a male. Then it was Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam, and you know the story. And this is the intention Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salam made. But Allahu Akbar, as a prophet, they never forget the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They did not utter the word insha'Allah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if Sulaiman alayhi salatu wa salam spoke out at that time and he said, insha'Allah, Allah would have blessed him with children who would be the most powerful, the strongest people on this earth. Allah also strong mujahideen who will fight in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he did not say inshallah, and it resulted that none of them conceived. Subhanallah. So we have to say inshallah ta'ala. That is our tafsir. That is the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are never to forget inshallah. Yajuj and Majuj, inshallah, we end the session today with Yajuj and Majuj. We continue with Dabbatul Ard, the animal that will come out at the time near Qiyamah, when the dua will not be accepted. When Yajuj and Majuj kill every single one except for Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam and the group of Muslims that will be with him, they will come to a mountain called Jabal al-Qamar. And they will stay there and they will say that, oh, we have killed everyone in this world. Now let us attack those who are living up in the skies, pointing out to the angels. And they will have their weapons. And they will point towards the skies. And this is mentioned in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. And they will shoot at the skies. The arrows will go up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also mock with them. وَمَكَرُوا وَمَكَرَ اللَّهُ. And the arrows will come down with blood stain on them. Blood stain on them, and they will say to each other, oh, we are victorious people. We are the elite people. We have done everything. We have defeated those who are up and those who are living in this world, and congratulating each other, taking pride over their achievements. Subhanallah. At that time, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam will be making bad-du'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send an insect, small insect, that will bite them right in the neck. And instantly, one by one, every single one of them will fall and they will die. Alhamdulillah, that has all been mentioned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make amal of what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillah, wa bil alamin. Appreciate what they الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية في الدنيا والآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك من رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار ونعوذ بك من غضبك والنار اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك اللهم انصر المجاهدين في سبيلك اللهم انصر من نصر دين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وخذوا من نصر الذين في دين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.